Well, this afternoon, his son, Beasley, will be in action in the Tampa Bay Derby. Could be a huge day for his owners and for trainer Mark Hennig, who joins us now here on the Equine Forum. Mark, welcome to the program, my friend.
Thanks a lot. Good morning. I hope you all are doing well.
Everything's good here in the Bluegrass. How's things in Florida?
Excellent. Really well. Beasley left at 4 a.m. this morning, arrived there at 8 a.m., so it was a nice, clean trip, and he's already settled into stall in Graham Motion's barn.
Ah, there you go. Go right to the top. No stakes barn for you. I've been waiting for a Shackleford to pop up and be really, really good, and it looks like you're taking first crack.
Well, we're going to take a crack at it. There's a lot of them coming, though. I've seen some nice maiden winners lately, and obviously that Colt of Todd's can run some. But we're going to give it a whirl.
Well, Mark Beasley, not only a son of Shackleford, but he is named for a small town in Texas, Beasley, Texas, where the population hovers, well, right around 650 persons. So not a big town, but named for that town, and maybe going to be the toast of the town in Louisville on the first Saturday in May. Do you even allow yourself to think about what that would be like?
Oh, every once in a while, but we're just going to try and be the toast of Tampa today. Take it one step at a time.
It would be cool if he went on to really make a name for himself, and maybe Mr. Lewis could have a statue in Beasley, Texas, like Mary Lou Whitney does at Saratoga.
Yeah, right. Or at least the horse could.
Yeah. Mark, we'll talk more about Beasley as it pertains to the Derby Trail and this year's Tampa Bay Derby, but there's such a great backstory here. When you talk about your relationship with Lee Lewis, you guys were at the Kentucky Derby together 24 years ago with your only Derby starter. That was Personal Hope back in 1993. It was right after you began your training career. Could you ever imagine that we'd be sitting here 24 years later and you'd be thinking, okay, boy, I haven't been back there since. I'd love to get back one more time.
No, I mean, unfortunately I was young enough at the time that I didn't probably appreciate where I was at and what I was going through as much as I would today, you know. And I think, you know, when you're cruising along at that age, you just think it's going to come to you all so easily all the time, because it did that year. So certainly I thought about it, but I've also been around long enough to know that you got to jump through a lot of hoops to get there.
24 years, that's in the Paul Mellon, Mac Miller category of owner-trainer relationships. Talk about that and how successful you guys have been.
Well, we've had a good run. I mean, Lee's a good friend of mine, first and foremost, and we formed that friendship when I was working for Wayne as an assistant. You know, it's ironic you bring up Paul Mellon and Mac Miller, because that day when Sea Hero won the Derby, the day we ran Personal Hope in it, and we were talking about it afterwards back at the barn, that, you know, it just seemed like the racing gods thought that was the way it should go that day. I mean, we turned for home in front that day, and if you ever look back and watch the race, I mean, coming around the turn, you had to think we were in really good shape. I think, like Gary told me that day when he got off of him, he said, I think both he and the horse were shocked when Sea Hero ran by him, because he said we were still running hard, and he said I think our horse lost focus. He said I even, you know, it shocked me that horse went by us like he did. But Lee and I agreed that day, you know, our day will come, and you never know.
Well, I have to take the statue away from Beasley now and put it next to the Sea Hero statue in the paddock at Saratoga. That would be really cool.
Absolutely.
Mark, you've gone on to win more than 1,300 races in your training career. You've had so many good horses come through your operation, and you've been on the Derby Trail. It's not like you haven't been on the Derby Trail over the past 2.5 decades. A horse like Eddington comes to mind, for example. But what is it that makes it so challenging for a trainer to get to the Kentucky Derby year in and year out?
Well, I think, you know, for one thing, it's different for everybody. I mean, for me, in my case, you know, I don't want to take a horse there just to be participating, you know. And even in the case of Eddington, you know, he just was a horse that was coming to hand a little bit later. He probably didn't reach his best form until he turned four. So, you know, he was lightly raised. He ran well, you know, early, but he was still learning. And, you know, I think in a case like him, he really didn't belong at that point in a 20-horse field on the first Saturday of May. He just seemed like a better fit for the Preakness. So I think it probably depends on your personality, too, whether you're really trying to force one into a position that you know, you're comfortable with. And sometimes, you know, if the horse is still developing, it's hard to put one in that position.
Yeah, so many trainers that we talk to that are on the Derby Trail, they say the horse has to bring you. You can't bring the horse. And that's usually the case with most races, not just the Kentucky Derby.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. From day to day, from a claiming race to a maiden race, first race to the last. I mean, you can't train, obviously, you know, Jude, you can't just look at the condition book and point and say, oh, this is where we're going to run. You got to watch your horse first and foremost.
Talking with trainer Mark Hennig here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Beasley going to the post in this afternoon's Tampa Bay Derby. Mark, you mentioned Eddington maybe not being ready to compete in a 20-horse field on the first Saturday in May. What things or what signs are you going to be looking for from Beasley later today that will show you, okay, he's a horse that does belong in a 20-horse field on the first Saturday in May?
Well, hopefully, you know, he's got this start and one more. He's a horse, you know, that's moved forward with each race. But, you know, his first and third races, he was a little bit, you know, lost some focus around the quarter pole, I thought. I mean, it seems like we've really got him doing well now, handling the turns well, doing everything right. I just want to see him take another positive step forward. And I want to see how he stacks up against this group. I mean, you know, we all have the utmost respect for Battalion Runner, but, you know, until he's run against these horses, we don't know that, you know, we really have run in with these Derby caliber horses. So, you know, the main thing is, does he fit? And does he fit around two turns? And you know, I think if he runs very well, we'll keep pushing forward.
As I was studying the race, it was interesting to me that he's improved his Brisnet late pace figures in every start. And last time out, it was his first race going two turns, and he ran a 99 late pace figure, the best of his career, even though, you know, he was head and head for the lead. And that's a real hard thing to do for a young horse. And I'm very encouraged by that. Do you think he's best if he sits a little bit?
I think he is best if he's got a target. But, you know, Jude, he's got plenty of natural speed. I mean, he's a very similar horse to a horse like a Personal Hope. He just has that natural speed. I mean, if they fall out of there, and nobody is committed, he's likely to be in front. If somebody wants it, I don't think he's got any problem settling off of them. He's never going to be too far back because he's just got that natural stride that takes him along at a pretty decent clip.
Mark, when did you first get the sense that Beasley might be somewhat special?
When I breezed him last, I guess it was probably May or late May, maybe it was first 3/8, and he and another horse that I had went way too fast, shaded 35 without even blinking, and I thought, all right, we need to slow down here. And then from that point on, we kind of did slow down with him. He had a little issue that we backed off on him for, and you know, but he was pretty you know, pretty Ray Charles type, you know, right from the onset.
Great analogy. Well, Beasley, a son of Shackelford, has that ability that his sire had, and he has that good early speed, as you heard Mark talk about just a few minutes ago. Mark, he gets a fourth different rider in as many starts today when you give a leg up to Irad Ortiz Jr. What do you say to Irad in the pre-race before you give him that leg up?
Well, Irad's very sharp, you know, and he's easy to talk to. Well, I'm sure we'll have a conversation sometime during the day today. And the main thing I would like to see him is just, you know, be a passenger basically. And you know, he's not a tough horse to ride if as long as, you know, he just gets try to work out a clean trip. But I'm not going to tell him to send. I'm not going to tell him to take him back. And we're just going to have a conversation about, you know, the little idiosyncrasies that he showed in the past, but that I think are behind us.
Let me kind of go a little behind the scenes here, a little inside baseball with you, Mark. When a trainer has a jockey who has never ridden a horse for the first time and is going to be aboard in a graded stake like Irad is today, do you go to Irad like maybe a week before, 2 weeks before, when you make the decision and you say, hey, why don't you go back and watch his past couple of races and here's what I want you to look for? Is there that type of conversation between trainer and jockey that takes place?
There is if you know, in a case like an Irad, he's a student of the game. I'm sure he's watched the races, and you know, we've talked about it. So, you know, we haven't been fortunate enough to keep the same rider with Junior. He, you know, had rotator cuff surgery. It's just kind of been one thing after the other. Javier had Gunavera, which we knew was always going to be an issue. So, from that point, you know, it's just a matter of finding somebody you're comfortable with. Irad, I'm very comfortable with, and always been able to communicate with him very well.
Yeah, you guys went at a 20% clip, so it's not like you're putting somebody out of left field on the horse. You guys have a good rapport.
Absolutely.
Well, Mark, listen, all the best later today in the Tampa Bay Derby and down that road to Louisville, and good luck with Beasley today. We'll be cheering.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. Have a great day.